Well, good morning, everybody.
Good to see you. Good time worshiping the Lord, just singing praise to Him and lifting Him up. Praise God for that. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each and every one here today. Father, as we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ, we come together to worship you in music and song, but also, Father, to open our hearts up to you, that we would hear the words that you speak to our heart, that our hearts would in turn worship you through the message. I pray that our hearts would be touched that way, and that you would be, that you personally would be blessed by our receptivity and our acknowledgement of you touching each one of us. And I pray that you would do just that. Father, I just ask that in this message, Father, that you accomplish the work that you have. And we praise you and thank you for your word. We ask it all in the name of Jesus. And God's people said,
amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're continuing our four-part series of how to be a perfect Christian. Last week, we learned that it's not the external actions, whether it be, or just leave it at that, actions of individuals that make you a perfect Christian. Some people might suppose that that's what they want. They want the image of looking like the perfect Christian, which we know is really not a reality. Nobody's a perfect Christian. But if there is to be any perfection or a perfect Christian activity, it comes from the heart. And how we allow God to work in our hearts and lives, how we respond to Him, and how He is the Lord of our life. And as Scripture says, as we are in our heart, it will come out. And so as we follow Christ and as He shapes us and molds us and makes us into the people that He wants us to be, the very character of Christ, which is perfect in of Himself, will be manifested in it through our lives, because we'll start taking on the character of Jesus, which is contrary to our own sinful nature, contrary to the ways of the world. But today we're going to be looking at attending the perfect church. You know, I've heard people, like Don was even saying, you know, there is no perfect church. Although I think there are some that have gone to church and thought that they were in their perfect church or the perfect church. I found the perfect church, but how they define that perfect church in their own heart and mind is essential to understanding what this message is about. Because there is the perfect church that God has for each one of us. And that's part of what we want to look at this morning. So, when Kathy and I know as we've traveled and as God has taken us to different parts of the country or different parts of California, and we're in a position where we're looking for a church to attend, how do you approach that? Do you approach that with the thinking of, I've already pre-designed my list of what I want in a church? Some might be very practical. Might be, I want a church that has a solid foundation for my kids. That's important. Or I want a church where I can relate to the music. That's important for worship. Or I want a church that's of a certain size. You can fill in the blank. You might say things like, there's the church that I want to go to has the best, coolest look to it architecturally. It's a cool looking church. I want to go there. As shallow as that is, that could be one of your requirements of the perfect church. Or what are the specifications for membership? Or is there a church that doesn't even require membership? That's where I want to go. Or maybe you're looking for a church that has that preferred preaching style, preferred worship style that is for you, that you, this is what you've checked off that's important to you and what you want. Or maybe you want the church that is of a certain size that fits your category. But do you understand what's happening here? We're starting to box in what type of church we want to go to, as opposed to what God, or what church God wants us to go to. And we're going to look at that a little bit more. We may look at churches and say, look at all the ministries they have. Our son and daughter-in-law is now going to First Baptist Church of Orlando. Humongous church. Humongous church. And they have everything that you could even wish for at that church. It's like going to Charles Stanley First Baptist of Atlanta. kind of like one of those type of things. But some have said, you know, I prefer a small family church. Or I prefer a big church where I have all the opportunities. Or I prefer a big church because I can hide and not be noticed if I'm gone. Or not be held accountable for what I'm doing. And vice versa. So there's pros and cons however you want to look at that. And so we have a way of defining our perfect church. And we can add more to this list of what the perfect church, but the truth of the matter is that there are no perfect churches, but imperfect churches are the reality. Satan wants so much to get us focused on the imperfections of our church rather than the good that God is doing. That's another message, right? But we can get drawn that way and look the wrong way instead of the way that God wants us to do. So there are two choices in selecting a church. Now, I realize that most of you here are already members of this church. And you may be thinking, oh, this is a message about getting us to join this church. No, it's not. It's a message that deals with you understanding God's will in your life, what He wants for you. And so when looking for churches, as I began to say, as Kathy and I went around looking for churches, we could look from two perspectives. We could look according to our list and what our, I call this the buffet choice. There's a buffet of churches and all the things that they have to offer. Our select from this and this and this are make the perfect church for me. Or we can choose to seek out the church that God has selected for us. So on one hand, we can select the church based upon our requirements or our desires, or we can follow and be at the church that God has selected for us. But I can guarantee you that whatever church God places you in will not meet the standard or the outline that you have designed in your mind and heart of the church that you want to be a part of. God will lead us to places that are different than what we expect for the purpose of growing us in Him, that we might become more like Him and might be used of Him, and that we might be a blessing. It's not all about us, right? The blessing of being used with our abilities, our gifts, our personality, and developing those relationships where we will affect the church. We don't know how God will use us to affect the church. You might say, I have a family of, let's say everybody in the community had six kids like Cherie. I mean, I still, my hat's off to you, you know. You know, but you say, well, I've got all these kids and I want to get them in the church and have a lot of kids stuff. The question I have for you is, how does a church get a lot of kids stuff? By bringing in the kids to do the stuff. And so God might lead you to a church that doesn't have kids. And you have kids. But God uses you to build the kids group up. Just a little side rabbit, if you will. But getting back to what I was saying is that the church that's perfect in our mind is not the perfect church that God has for us. That's a given. Because we're not going to find the perfect church as we see. In 1 Corinthians 12, 11, and 8, in the International Standard Version, it says, but one and the same Spirit produces all these results and gives what He wants to each person. But now God has arranged the parts, every one of them, in the body according to His plan. Now you may go back and you'll read the text in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and you'll say, well, I understand the correlation there, the typology there, that we're looking at the body, the human body, and each part is placed strategically as God would have it be for that body to function well. There might be a heart and a brain, a lung, a liver, or eyelash, but each one has its specific function that's important to the well-being and the health of the body. And we might go on and say, well, that's talking about God placing us in this church where He wants to use us according to the gifts that He's given us, or how He has made us to function as a part of that body of believers in the local church. But the broader picture is that God has placed us in the body of Christ, which is worldwide, and through the church age as he chooses. And so when we look for church, if we choose to look for church based upon God's leadership in our life, rather than our choice in our life, we will be where God wants us to be in our life. And there's no better place to be than where God wants us to be. And so God has arranged the parts according to his will. God places us where it pleases him. If we've chosen to follow his lead, invariably, it will not look like or be the church we envisioned. And Satan will use that to beat us up. We can choose to say, this is not what I envisioned, this is not what I want, and so forth, and allow that to drag us down. Or we can say, I know God has put me here. How do we know that? Well, the way we know it is, one, are we getting fed spiritually? Number one, what God said through that message touched me, and I know God fed me spiritually. God's spirit is moving and touched my heart. Or in your spirit, you know that it just feels right as God confirms that in your heart. You can walk into a church and you go, it don't feel right. It's, I'm not comfortable. There's something not right here. And so we start to identify in our spirit these things. Am I being fed? Is my spirit where God wants me to be? Does it feel right? Although it may not look right based upon our preferences. Now, if you were to look at our church today, you might say that this church does not meet all or check all the boxes of what we want in this church or our ideal church in our own mind's eye. But that's okay. That's okay. Because, again, there's no perfect church this side of heaven. You might find a church on the onset and you go, man, that is a perfect church. And the closer you get involved in that church, the more you start seeing the imperfections. It's like meeting somebody who said, man, they are fantastic. Wow, they are just the most super fantastic people. But the closer you get to them, you realize, but they've got their issues too. And we learn, don't we? We learn because we all have issues to deal with, right? And so the key is that if we follow God where he wants us to be, if you're here at this church because you know that God has put you here, if you want to go by the structure of a membership issue or otherwise, then you know you're where God wants you to be. We follow God to the church he wants us to be in. But if we're at the church that God wants us to be in, we're going to experience some things that we don't want to experience. That's not what I wanted to hear. You know, okay, I know I'm where you want me to be. But what are some of the things that come along with that? Well, one, sermons that make you uncomfortable help identify that you're where you're supposed to be. Why is that? Because when we're convicted, we're either convicted for sin that we need to repent of, or we're convicted of something that God might be leading us to do, or there's something that God is working and dealing in our life that he wants us to conform to or yield to. Whatever the case is, conviction is part of growing, because if it's smooth sailing all the time, we're just plain spoiled and not being dealt with to grow right. If that makes sense. Parents, we know that, right? All right. Another thing that helps us understand where we're at is the right place to be is that a worship experience that centers your focus more on God than on your own feelings. One of the things I've heard as a pastor, and many of you have heard as Christians, is that what's important to me is that when I come out of church, bam, man, that music was fantastic today. I couldn't keep still. That was a great experience. I want that. I like that. I experience that. But is that the priority? No. The priority is, was my heart drawn to God through that worship? In that worship time, did I sense the Spirit of God enveloping me with a heart of humility before God or joy before God's presence, recognizing Him meeting with me and me with Him. Because that's where we come to worship in spirit and truth. It's not about the external experience, it's about the internal experience spiritually with God. And then the third thing is church leaders who desire to follow God's will rather than the people or culture around them will help you to identify that God has placed you where He wants you to be. Because God wants pastors and deacons and teachers and leadership to stand true to the Word of God. The more we stand true to the Word of God, the more heat we're going to get. The more we stand true to the Word of God, the more adversity we're going to get from the world, and the more alienated we're going to be from the world and us. In other words, it's not a comfortable place to stand true to the Word of God, but that's what God wants in His church, because when we're true to the Word is presented, and your life and my life is changed because there's power in the Word. Scripture says that the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing down to the soul and marrow, or the marrow and soul of the person. In other words, the depth of who you are is the power of the Word. The Word cuts down to the very core, the bottom core of who we are. And if we don't experience that, we're not going to grow and be shaped and molded or cut into, if you will, the person God wants us to be. It's kind of like, aren't you amazed at people that are sculptors? You say, well, not really. No, but think about the skill. Think about the statue of David in Italy. Think about these different details of statues. And out of a clump of a rock, this sculptor saw what he saw and cut it all out and made it into this beautiful sculpture. That's what God sees with you and I. You and I are rocks that He's sculpting into something beautiful, and the chisel is the Word. And if the Word is not presented in its entirety, there's going to be a mess up in the shape, because we're not going to be affected by the power of God the way God intends, which affects the change, which affects how we look. And so, from our perspective, the idea of sermons uncomfortable and worship experience that leads to our focus on God, or leaders that stick to the Word of God, these don't describe, generally speaking, our perfect church. The top thing on our list for a church we're looking for isn't that, I want a church where I go and I'm convicted. Nobody likes that. I'm not going to put that on the top of my list. And so we get surprised. But when we are where God wants us to be, no matter how surprising or no matter how much of the salad bar of church qualities we didn't get in that church, if we're where God put us and we know it in our spirit, it is the perfect church for us. Because it's where God's going to use us to affect others and others to affect us for Him and His glory. Here's some things that we can get that can get in the way of our comfort. Okay, more of the conviction thing. Biblical teaching is unlike the world. Biblical teaching is unlike the world. Pastor, that's antiquated. Pastor, that's relative to history. Pastor, this isn't what we do anymore. Pastor, that's a little bit too strict. Ba 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 ba. It's the Word of God. And so biblical teaching is unlike the world, and that can affect our comfort and deep relationships, trusting with transparency. I mean, God intends for our church to be far more than what it is in relationship with one another. God intends our church and His church, the body of believers, to be in love with Him and to love each other with great depth. But what do we see so many times in our churches? In our church, we see us coming together, caring about each other, loving each other, but we're in our own world and we're separate from each other. We've not allowed our lives to be transparent with each other to the degree that we can develop trust with one another and develop a relationship of that sense of great acceptance for who we are, not who we want people to see or want them to think we are. In other words, God wants us to be so close to each other that we can't get enough of being around each other because we love each other that much. He wants that sense of unity, that type of relationship amongst his children. Think about your children not having a close relationship with each other. In all honesty, that's heartbreaking. Think about them having a fantastic relationship. What a blessing. What a joy. Thirdly, sacrificial love, putting others first because you love them. These are not comfortable. To put others first above our desire is not comfortable. But it's part of being the body of Christ in the church that God has put us in. The most ideal description of a more perfect church structure is found in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 through 47. And we're going to see five essentials. Those of you that went through Purpose-Driven Life years ago by Rick Warren, these five essentials tell how you can identify whether your church is healthy or not, where its weak and strong points are. In verse 42, it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayers." They loved being in the Word. They loved being in the fellowship of one another. They loved taking the Lord's Supper together. They loved eating together. They loved being together. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Therefore, biblical teaching and fellowship was something that was relevant, that was dominant, that was loved in that church body. Verse 43, "Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." If we're at church and we're convicted, there should be a holy fear in our heart that says, "I got to make that right with God. I got to do what God wants me to do. I hear you, Lord, calling me. I hear you, Lord, leading me. I hear you, Lord, directing me. I hear you, Lord. I hear you, Lord. I hear you, Lord." And if we don't fear him, we become deaf to him. But see, this body of believers in verse 43 says, "Then came fear upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles." They heard the word. They received the word. They enjoyed one another. God talked to them through one another. God revealed himself to them through one another. They saw God working in people's lives. And there was a sense of fear and awe. Look what God is doing. The fear was, "I can't believe you are doing that in me." And the awe was, "Look what's happening." Because I tell you, following God can be scary, but only in our flesh. Because when we're confident in our relationship with God, that fear can go away. That joy can be underneath, even though the scary part of doing what he wants us to do is there. The joy can be there as well. Verses 44 and 45. "Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need." Can you imagine this church family, or any church family, any body of believers, loving each other enough to say, "The things that I've worked for that are mine, I loose to God. I will sell the things that God calls me to sell when he leads me to sell them for the purpose of meeting the needs of brothers and sisters in Christ in my church. I will give what I have to those that have need as God leads me to do so." I mean, a love that says, "I hear you. I may not have the money to help you now, but I'm willing to sell this to give you some money to help." That's a sacrifice. But that's a deep reflection of love that God wants us to have. Sacrificial love amongst the church body. I'm willing to forsake or give up for the sake of one another and each other. Verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. 20 years ago or less, it used to be a standard structure of a church schedule for the week. Sunday school, morning worship, evening worship, Tuesday night visitation, Wednesday night prayer meeting, Thursday night choir meeting, and then got Friday and Saturday off. That was not an uncommon structure for most churches. Now it's hard to get people to be at church beyond Sunday morning. Beyond Sunday morning. I'm not saying that there aren't, but I'm saying most people are content with this, just come to church on Sunday morning. But here, it says, so continually daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house daily. Because of that strong love relationship, because of that support, because of that joy of greeting each other, being with each other, that environment of the presence of the Holy Spirit in the midst of being together, they couldn't get enough and they met every opportunity that they could. Regular attendance or participation by the church body together was a reality in the church, although that might make us feel out of our comfort zone. And unity was definite. Finally, verse 47, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. They had favor with all people. They praised God. They were in favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church. In other words, they worshiped and praised God. They were respected in their community. And they had outreach to those outside the church. All these essentials are selfless, a picture of selfless nature. What pictures? Biblical teaching and fellowship, God working in people's lives, sacrificial love amongst the church body, regular attendance or participation in the church body together, and the unity of the body, worship, praise, being respected in the community, and outreach to those outside. All those things can take us out of our comfort zone, but all those things can move us into the place that God wants us to be as a body of believers. Now let's notice in Matthew 22:36-40, Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now if I was to ask you if you love God, most Christians will say, yeah, I love God. It's easy to say I love God. It's not as easy for people to see that you love God by your actions. Big difference. And the second is, like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law of the and the prophets. God says we are to love each other with a strong, fond affection for one another, and we're to love all people through Christ, in Christ, for Christ, in his glory. So the focus of the early church body and any church body is to love God first and to love others second. We can all improve on loving each other, and we can all improve on loving people outside. All people. You can all do that. We can all look to what God wants us to do in our church. We can all choose to let God shape us as he wants to, even though there may be conviction, or even though it takes us out of our comfort zones. But how wonderful it will be for us to be that body, not a perfect church, but that clearly is bonded closer together in the joy and in the fellowship of one another in the Lord. So, a couple questions. Are we keeping these commandments? Love God first, love others? Yes or no? Are we helping our church meet these essentials, those things I read about of God that we read about in Acts chapter 2? Yes or no? Those five things that are so essential for the church. Remember, there's no perfect church this side of heaven. always room for improvement. You know what I did? You know how I look at churches? As individuals. You're an individual. I'm an individual with strengths and weaknesses in Christ. Churches are like individuals with their own character, their own look, their own strength, and their own weaknesses as well. God wants us to talk us through the worship, the Bible studies. He wants to talk to us. When I do marriage counseling, we're going to wrap this up. I'm on my last page in four lines. When I'm doing marriage counseling or pre-marriage counseling or things like that for people that are not attending church, I tell them you need to as Christians, because I only marry Christians. And I tell them, get the church, because it's in the body of believers that God sometimes speaks the clearest to us. And when he speaks to us, it's through the body of believers that here have the body of believers say something that affirms and confirms what God has already told you. We need to be in the body. Satan's trick is to keep us out. When the doors open, be there. The only thing that keeps us from being there is our lack of desire or joy for the hunger of his word and the fellowship of believers. Because if those things really stirred our heart, we would want more and more and more. That's what we need to think about. The big key to this being our perfect church is our commitment to God, his word, this church, and each other. Let's make this our perfect church. You get the picture? It's a dual meaning. We can make the church the perfect church that God has for us as we serve him in it, right? We're not going to be the perfect church because we all have weaknesses. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for your word. Yes, Lord, there's conviction in this message. And yes, Lord, there's blessings in it too. And yes, Lord, there's a challenge laid before each one of us. I pray that you would put a hunger and thirst in our hearts for you, out of love for you, that is greater, deeper, stronger than ever before in our lives. I pray that you would put a desire in our heart for you and to be in your presence and to be with one another that we can't get enough of, that we look forward to those times together with you and collectively together as brothers and sisters in Christ. I pray, Father, for that love, that when we step into a room, each one of us, that we not only know that we're loved, but we feel that love around us. That we are just blessed, refreshed. That we know that we are just greatly valued and greatly loved, and people are pleased to see us. I pray, Father, that you'll help us to build each other up. Help us to be your people this way. Not because it's the checklist that I would like to see for what I think is the perfect church, but because it's the guideline that you've given us in your word. So, Father, honor this, and may each one of us grow more in love with you. For we ask it in the name of Jesus and for your glory. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.